Good morning.
Good morning.
To prepare ourselves for our message and this reflective time, let us begin with a prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come together. May we be present with you and find the grounding, the serenity, and love that you provide. May you be with us in our hearts as we prepare for the routines, joys, and challenges this week may bring. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been on a night flight to somewhere and seen the lights from the plane window? A long time ago, I took a flight from Singapore to Paris. Most of the flight was in darkness until we got to Europe. I saw city lights out of the plane window, and in the distance, I could see another set of city lights we were approaching. And I wondered about the millions of people down there. Who were they? What were their lives like? Could they be like you and me? The interesting thing is that Jesus talks about lights. This is what he tells us in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Tells us that we are the light of the world. He tells us that that goodness within us is our light. He tells us, just like we like seeing a fireworks display or looking down at city lights, he delights when he sees us shine. He tells us of the value he has for us. He tells us that that goodness should not be hidden. It needs to be shine and be seen in all. By all, particularly when our work is in the betterment of our human race that our God has created. I believe that every one of us is born with abundant light. When you hold a newborn baby in your arms, they radiate so much unconditional love. They're like million watt bulbs. It is that innate love that connects us to God. There are many times that when that light within us is undeniable, when we do good deeds, when we simply are kind, when we value the good deeds of others, when we help others, when we stand up for what is right, when we find our talents and use them well, our light shines. When we hurt and reach bottom's end, and as we work our way out of that darkness, our light shines honorably. But sometimes the light gets dimmed out, and we forget to let it shine. So today, I would like us to honor our light. We always have scripture to guide us, but it is wonderful when God's word works in practice, outside church, out there. And so it was the case when I heard about a research called The Blue Zones. It also happens to be a book by Dan Buettner. In this research, the National Institute of Aging at the University of Minnesota wanted to find the longest living people in the world, living their life with meaning. Now, before I tell you about the findings, I want to point out that in another research, it was established that only 10% of how long the average person lives within set biological limits is dictated by our genes. 90% of how long we live is dictated by our lifestyle. So going back to the Blue Zone study, the National Institute of Aging sent a team of researchers to various parts of the world that had the highest number of centenarians, that's people that live 100 years or longer, mixed with other demographics. This team, on finding their high concentration of centenarians, studied what they ate, looked at their community, and how they socialized. The places they found people that had the optimal lifestyle of longevity were called the Blue Zones. So let's visit three blue zones. The first blue zone they found was a small town 125 miles off the coast of Italy on the island called Sardinia. In the highlands of Sardinia, there are about 10 times more centenarians than what we have here in America. These people not only live to the age of 100 or more, but do so with vigor. A place where a 102-year-old man still rides his bike to work, chops wood, and can beat a man half his age in arm wrestling. So, what is the secret of their optimal lifestyle of longevity? Well, the Sardinian history goes back to the time of Christ. They are a Bronze Age culture that has been isolated. Because they live in the highlands, their land is infertile. They are mostly shepherds, and because of the mountains they have to climb, they naturally engage in low-intensity exercise. Their diet is mostly plant-based, and they eat an unleavened whole wheat bread and a type of cheese made of grass-fed animals high in omega fatty acids. So, okay, that's how they eat. That's the physical aspect of their life. But the real secret of the optimal life of longevity is the way they organize their society. One of the salient elements of the Sardinian society is how they treat each other, especially the older people. In Sardinia, the older you are, the more social equity you have. There, as you age, you are the more wisdom you are celebrated for. When you go into a pub in Sardinia, you'll find hanging on the wall a centenarian of the month calendar, celebrating the oldest generations in that society. This high social equity that they have created is not only good for the aging grandparent, but also good for the children in that society. By valuing the older generation, research has shown that children benefit too, because there is nothing like getting the love of a well-loved and valued grandma. In this pay-it-forward culture, children have low rates of mortality and disease. This is called the grandmother effect. But to me, this is Jesus' words in action. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. A second blue zone is 800 miles south of Tokyo on the archipelago known as Okinawa. Once again, the Sardinians, they have some important social structures. In Okinawa community, the children are automatically born into a system where they have half a dozen friends who will be with them throughout their life. These communities are called morwais, and if you're in a morwai, you're expected to share your bounty, and if things go bad, a child gets sick, a parent dies, you always have someone that has your back. In some morwais, the women have been together for 97 years. When we honor each other, we honor the light within us. Again, Jesus' words in action. Continuing with the Okinawa culture, they have a word that captivates the meaning of life, and that word is ikigai. And roughly translated, it means the reason for which you wake up in the morning. For this 102-year-old karate master, his ikigai was carrying forth his martial arts. For this 100-year-old fisherman, it's continue catching his fish for his family three times a week. And the interesting fact, when these centenarians were given a questionnaire by the research team on what their ikigai was, they all instantly knew what they woke up for in the morning. For this 102-year-old woman, her ikigai was simply her great-great-great-granddaughter. Two girls separated in age by 101 and a half years. She was asked, what did it feel like to hold her great-great-great-granddaughter? And she said, it feels like leaping into heaven. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So is there a blue zone in America? You betcha. America's longest living population resides in Loma Linda, California, amongst the Seventh-day Adventist population. In this community, they have whites, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, and they follow some rules ritualistically. One of them is for 24 hours a week, No matter how busy they are, how stressed out they are at work, where the children need to be, they stop everything and they focus on God, their social network, and hardwired into their religion are nature walks. The power with this is that it's not done occasionally, it's done every week for life. Now, I'm not saying we should have a community like this. I'm definitely not saying we should eat like they do. But I am inspired by the way their light shines in their corner of the world. It's not about money they have. It's about the value they have for themselves and their community itself. I know this is a simple message about the light within us. And as I was writing this, I wondered whether this was realistic for us. Even though there is proof in the world that shining your light matters. And then just 2 days ago, I saw a news article about how people on the south side of Chicago have been trying to stop the violence in their community. Headed by the anti-violence group Ceasefire Illinois program, ABC's Nightline, News World, and Father Flager of the St. Sabina Church, they got together 36 hardcore gang members, mothers who had lost their children innocently to gang violence, leadership program directors to come together to discuss how to stop the violence in their community. The gang members were guarded at first, and then they started to have real conversations about how no one understands the vortex of violence that they are caught up in. And then after breaking things down, they started to talk to one another. Talk to one another about their dreams, their hopes and talents, and yes, a ceasefire. A week later, an audacious idea was spawned for them to have a basketball tournament for peace, where members of rival gangs played against each other. And after their match, one guy said, "We played ball today. We did something that was better, did something different. We changed it." This fundamental concept of acknowledging the light within us is important stuff. Like a car that needs to be tuned up now and then, we need at times a spiritual turn-up. And when we reflect on the foundation of our faith and how it operates in our life, we are connecting with our light. We need to check inward and ask ourselves, have we allowed the light to shine so that it honors our Father in heaven? If you like, here is a challenge for this week. This week, be aware of the light within you. See goodness around you. Notice how that makes you feel and notice how God is in that space. It could be a prayer that you say this week to honor your light. It could be sending a letter to an email to a teacher and thanking them for the good job that he or she has done with your child. It could be noticing the name tag of a checkout clerk at a store and thanking them personally. It could be listening to a song that lightens your heart. Just be mindful of being kind this week. It's when on Facebook I see youth put a truth is post, and whoever likes their post, they have to write something nice on their friend's wall. This week, in your corner of the world, let your light shine. Because if we do it together and we come together as a community and practice shining our light to do God's deeds, then we become a town and a city that lights up as God looks down on us. Before you go, I want to share a song that I've been hearing on the radio lately. It's a song called Lights by Ellie Goulding. I find the melody soothing, and sometimes it acts as a reminder for me to let my light shine. I love it when Jesus' words works in the elements of our life. In this song, Lights, Ellie Goulding sings, "You are the light that stops me turned to stone. You shine it when I'm alone. And so I tell myself that I'll be strong and dreaming when they're gone, because they're calling, calling, calling me home." For that moment in my day when I'm busy, this song that randomly pops up on the radio inspires me for that moment to recognize this light within me. So in closing, let us honor the light within us. I thought we would do a little reflection. Candles have been lit to represent the light within you. I would like for us to take this time to reflect on what Jesus has told us, that you and I are the light of the world. During this reflection, let us listen to the song, Lights by Ellie Goulding.
You show the lights that still